Welcome to Cat's Cast, the Catskills podcast. This week, we say goodbye to one of our favorite publications, Catskill Tri-County Historical Views. This biannual journal ran from 2018 to 2022, and we were sorry to see a letter enclosed with our latest issue explaining that it would be their last, citing increased paper, printing, and shipping costs, and a subscription base that hadn't kept up with those expenses. It's a blunt reminder that local journalism isn't sustainable without local dollars. And with that in mind, we're happy to support the Mountain Eagle with our subscription that puts a real hold-in-your-hand newspaper in our mailbox every week. If you'd like to do the same, just click the link in the show notes. Speaking of which, have you clicked the subscribe button for this podcast? Please do, on whatever your preferred app is, so you'll never miss an episode. It's always free, but donations absolutely help keep this going, so please do consider clicking the donate button at catscast.com. And now, on to today's show, which originally aired as part of a series we produced for Catskill Tri-County Historical Views called Catskill Historical Views. In episode 5 of that series, we spoke with Kenny Bloodgood about his 84 years in the Catskills and his special connection to some famous Western art. Here is that show. Welcome to Catskill Historical Views, an audio companion to Catskill Tri-County Historical Views, published by the Gilboa Museum and Juried History Center, with support from the Zadok Pratt Museum. This is Episode 5, a conversation with Kenny Bloodgood, his talented great-uncle Grant Bloodgood, and Grant's connection to famed artist Charles Schreivogel.
Yeah, see on there? Sure, just what Kenny was looking at. Hey, now I can take a picture of that right here.
That's Kenny Bloodgood flying his new drone and snapping an aerial photo of the house he grew up in 84 years ago. Today, he lives just next door in Westkill, New York.
Hi, my name's Ken Bloodgood, Westkill. I was born here 84 years ago. We lived in the house that my great-grandfather built, James Bloodgood. James was in the Civil War. I have a copy of his Civil War records. My father was a cheesemaker. We used to have a creamery in town. And he worked there as a cheesemaker, and he used to teach cheese making. And my mother was a homemaker with 7 kids. She was a homemaker. I worked in the creamery when I was 15. They made red whipped cream, cottage cheese, butter, sour cream, powdered milk. I worked at 6 at night till 6 in the morning and went to school. And when school was out, they put me on 6 in the morning till 6 at night.
Ken's creamery job was just the beginning of a long and varied work life.
I was in the Air Force for 4 years, a jet mechanic, observer on Hunter Mountain Fire Tower for 1 year. And I worked at North Lake, Bel Air. I drove a school bus for 2 years as a substitute driver. I worked at Hunter Mountain Ski Bowl. I worked for Kenny Becker, electrician, for 19 years, doing utility work. Then worked for Vanetten Trucking. Worked for Core Builders in Boyceville, estimating jobs. I was an assessor for 25 years. The longest elected assessor in Greene County. And now I work at Williams Lumber, so I can see people, because I can't sit alone all day. I think too much if I sit home.
When he does have time to think, Ken's been known to dive deep into genealogical research, all the way back to the 10th century.
My wife and I done genealogy. We got my family research back and documented here in 900. The first one come over from Holland. I have a copy of his will, dated 1699. He had 2 sons, William and John. I'm a descendant of William. Then they migrated up into Dutchess County, from Dutchess County to Pinellville, and from Pinellville up here.
We asked Kenny about one relative in particular, his great uncle, Grant Bloodgood.
Oh boy, he was a character and a half. One thing that always sticks in my mind about him, he says a man in his lifetime should only have 1 car. That's all he needs. There's no need of having 2 cars or 3, only 1. He bought a 1923 Chevrolet brand new, and that's the only car he had when he died in the 1960s. His wife stayed in Stanford and run the store, a little grocery store. He drove around and sharpened lawnmowers, knives, scissors. He chewed tobacco, and then in the car he had a spittoon on the floorboard. He could drive right on and not miss it. Hit right dead center with it. And he done the Mariettes, use with your fingers. He made those. He played the bones. I think he had real bones. Now they're made out of plastic. The juice harp, the spoons. And the other thing that sticks to my mind is he started making violins at age 80. He made his own bows. He was a man that could never sit still. He used old piano material to make the violins. And he used to dress up as Chief Crazy Horse and raise money for the Boy Scouts in Stanford.
Grant Bloodgood didn't take sides, though. When he wasn't dressing up like Chief Crazy Horse, he was posing as a cavalryman for famed artist Charles Schreivogel. Schreivogel was born in New York City in 1861, and some of his most famous depictions of the Western frontier were painted from a rooftop in Hoboken, New Jersey. To reconcile Schreivogel's East Coast background with his iconic Western art, I made a call to Michael Grauer, McCasland Chair of Cowboy Culture and Curator of Cowboy Collections and Western Art at Oklahoma City's National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum.
Well, it was actually city slickers like Schreivogel and Frederick Remington from the East Coast who really made the greatest impact on Western art, especially in the turn of the last century. And I'm standing in the Schreivogel Gallery adjacent to the Remington Gallery. And these two guys were pretty much emblematic of Easterners in particular, who became enamored of the American West and tried to save it on canvases and in bronze. And so, you know, that's actually a fairly common theme, not only for settlers going from the East Coast to the Western United States, west of the Mississippi, but artists in particular. It drew them like a magnet, like flies to honey, so to speak. And because of his attention to detail and also to research is what lends credibility to his work far more than many other artists who were his contemporaries. He did go out west and make sketches and collect material culture objects to ensure that his paintings were as accurate as he possibly could make them.
Once fame and fortune gave him the choice, writes Stephen Foreman in Catskill Tri-County Historical Views, he came to Greene County, discovered Lexington, and bought property there, just up the road from Kenny Bloodgood's great uncle Grant.
Right, so we'll go own 36 acres down here. Uncle Grant used to go, I think it was the train station in Phoenicia, to pick him up. He worked as a handyman on the farm.
Grant Bloodgood would use his skills to build Schreivogel a Catskills studio.
Yes, the studio is just about a half mile north of here, and you can see it where they got the great big windows, look like they're about 8 foot square. So when the sun came in the morning, he could see to do the paintings.
We actually have several paintings in the collection that were painted in the Catskills. There's one of his farm and a landscape near his studio. So to be outdoors and to be away from Hoboken was also critical to the success of his work. To be out in nature and sketch and paint there was really important to him.
So then Schreivogel said to his wife, he's lean and mean, looks like a trooper in the West. So Schreivogel asked him if he could build a wooden horse and pose for him.
We've got a photograph of him hanging in the gallery, posing for one of the figures. Most of those guys had a favorite model. Remington did, of course, and another artist who was working in Ridgewood, New Jersey at about the same time, who became part of the Taos Art Colony, W. Herbert Dunton. They all had a favorite model who looked Western. That was key. They have that Western look, or at least how they determined a Western look. So, yeah, having a favorite model close by was really critical to the success of their work.
Grant Bloodgood appears in some of Schreivogel's most famous paintings, including My Bunkie, seen pulling a fallen companion onto his galloping horse. He appears again, multiple times perhaps, in a painting called On the Skirmish Line, on display at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum.
Yeah, we've got a painting called On the Skirmish Line, and I think he appears in there probably more than once, although those guys tended to look a little bit alike. But yeah, I suspect probably On the Skirmish Line contains Mr. Bloodgood in that painting for sure.
I asked Mr. Grauer about the scope of Schreivogel's works at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum.
It's actually rather extensive if you include the archival collection, which is housed in our Dickinson Research Center in the basement. It's got great depth and breadth, oil paintings, pencil sketches, watercolors, all different media that he used, including some bronzes and plaster sculptures, and taken in conjunction with that archival and photograph collection. It's one of the most comprehensive Schreivogel collections you'll see in the U.S.
Schreivogel's Catskills-tinged Western works can be seen in books and online, But curator Michael Grauer reminds us that nothing beats an in-person experience.
It's critical to not rely on images you see in books or even online. One needs to see Schreibvogel's work in person, and I'd encourage people to come here to the National Cowboy Museum and see this great collection. We've got one gallery all devoted just to him. We also have his paint box, which is a pretty important part of understanding him, and as well as the archive. So the thing I would say is you got to see any great work of art, you need to see it in person, and don't rely on what you see on your phone. That's not the way to see great works of art.
It turns out Westkill's Kenny Bloodgood is also a big fan of real-world experiences.
When I was a kid, you go swimming a lot. You play ball out in the middle of a hayfield. They had town baseball teams. You got to know each other. Today, neighbors don't even know neighbors. It's like kids don't hunt anymore. They don't even fish anymore. They're too busy with a cell phone. And they gotta get out and do things.
Which is why most days you can still find Kenny at Williams Lumber in Tannersville, keeping busy and connecting with his community. If you see him, tell him we said hello. Ask about his drone or his great uncle Grant. For more on the Bloodgood Schreivogel connection, Catskill Tri-County Historical Views wrote about it in their 2021 spring and fall editions. Catskill Historical Views is an audio companion to Catskill Tri-County Historical Views, published by the Gilboa Museum and Juried History Center. Subscribe for home delivery at CatskillTriCounty.org. This series is also supported by the Zadok Pratt Museum in Prattsville, New York, and online at ZadokPrattMuseum.org. CatsCast is sponsored by the Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce, providing services to businesses, community organizations, and local governments in the Central Catskills region. Follow the Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce on Facebook and sign up for a weekly email of local events at centralcatskills.org. And by Briars and Brambles Books, the go-to independent book and gift store in the Catskills, located in Windham, New York, right next to the pharmacy, just steps away from the Windham Path. Open daily. For more information, visit briarsandbramblesbooks.com or call 518-750-8599. CatsCast is a production of Silver Hollow Audio. I'm Brett Barry. Thanks for listening. Keep in touch, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.